Welcome to Lead Follow, a podcast for pastors and leaders, hosted by MCUSA Executive Director Glenn Guyton. Join Glenn as he talks to folks across the denomination to help equip today's leaders who are leading while following Jesus.
Hello, I'm Glenn Guyton, and during this season of Lead Follow, we'll be exploring ways to engage with youth and young adults from Gen Alpha to Gen Z. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Lorraine Stutzman-Amstutz, who will be discussing gathering around a peace witness. Lorraine Stutzman-Amstutz serves as the denominational minister for peace and justice for MCUSA. Previously, she served as the foster care supervisor for Kobe's Family Services in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Lorraine also served as the coordinator of MCC's Restorative Justice Program for over 25 years and co-authored the Little Book of Restorative Discipline for Schools and What Will Happen to Me. She holds a bachelor's degree in social work from Eastern Mennonite University and a master's degree in social work from Marywood University. Lorraine, welcome to the table.
Thanks,
this,
Glenn.
This is not like the red table or anything fancy.
Okay.
Like,
oh, okay.
This is just the Mennonite table.
We're not going to get that personal?
Not that personal. But I will ask you a question.
Okay.
What is your favorite thing to bake?
What is my favorite thing to bake? I would say chocolate chip cookies every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And you're quite the baker.
I love to bake.
All right.
Do love to bake.
Well, we'll see what's cooking in your other work.
Okay.
And so you are the minister for peace and justice, which is a big part of what we do here in Mennonite Church USA. And so as you think about young people, what are ways young people can engage in that type of work?
How can they engage? I think there are so many ways that young adults, young people mm-hmm. can engage and want to engage.
Yeah.
I think it needs to start with us listening to them. I think they want to be in those conversations with adults.
Mm-hmm.
I think as adults, sometimes we say, well, we'll do it and then we'll turn it over. I don't think that's what they want. They
mm-hmm.
want to be, let's do it together. Let's have conversations about what it means to be active, what it means to be building peace, what it means for justice to happen. They want to be in on those conversations, so they need to know we're creating space for that to happen.
And so as you think about young people, and I know you engage in a number of different things in Mennonite Church USA, and you've done this for a while, what have you seen as maybe kind of what's the most pressing thing now that you've heard from young people when it comes to this peace and justice?
Hmm. I think they recognize that it's critical, whether
mm-hmm.
we're talking about what's happening in our world, what's
mm-hmm.
happening in Gaza, whether we're talking about what's happening within our cities, whether we're talking about guns,
yeah.
Whether we're talking about climate justice. They have an awareness that I feel like I never had at
okay.
that age.
All right.
That awareness is there. And I think now they're looking to the church to say,
okay.
what are the values that the church holds? Because I think sometimes they're feeling like what's happening in the church around sometimes conflict.
Yeah.
Isn't necessarily where their heart is, and so they want to be part of those conversations, though, to talk about it. I don't think they're scared of it.
Okay.
I don't think they're as scared as maybe sometimes adults are to have those conversations. So I think we just need to provide those opportunities. I think they talk about things being important to them, like youth conferences.
Okay.
They love youth conferences, and I think it provides them an opportunity to talk about issues that are real to them.
Yeah.
So I think the more we can do it, let's do it.
So how can we, I guess, maybe create that environment to hear what the young people have to say?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I had, so my spouse teaches at Lancaster Mennonite.
Okay.
And he teaches juniors and seniors, and he has this class called Kingdom Living.
Okay.
And so there were a group of them that responded to some questions. And they've done this throughout some of my work. I've asked them, What are they saying about this? Or we talked about a new program that we're starting that hopefully will go live next
okay.
month, the Peaceful Options for Trainings and Careers
okay.
as Alternatives to the Military.
Okay.
So I had my husband ask them some questions
okay.
about what would be important to them, along with some of these questions about peace and
yeah.
justice and what that means to be part of the church and how we can do this together. And one of the things that one of the students said in this Kingdom Living class is
sure.
when they want to talk about important issues, they circle up. So they sit in a circle together, and they said it provides a space for them to be able to not only speak what's important to them, but to also listen to others.
Okay.
So that's being able to speak and listen is so important, and I think those are the kind of opportunities that the church can provide.
Okay. And so as you think about young people, and I was just recently came back from a Sankofa journey and mm-hmm. learned a lot about the civil rights movement. And the title of this podcast is Lead, Follow. So mm-hmm. when you think about change and working the issues of peace and justice, like who are the leaders and who are the followers? Are the young people leading the way or the old people leading the way, the older people? Like, yeah, who's the leader and who's the follower in these situations, do you think?
That's an interesting question. I feel like in conversations that I've had, I would like it, and they would like it to be both and.
Okay, both and.
Yeah, I don't know that it has to be me leading it, because I wouldn't want to start something without their input.
Yeah.
And I think they don't want to start something necessarily without listening to the voices of those who went before them.
Right.
So I think it is a both and. I think they have ideas that we need to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. I think we have experience that they do want to listen to. And I think while doing that, also paying attention, I think one of the things that's critical for them is they recognize that this work is hard work.
Okay.
The issues around peace and justice are hard. And so they also want to know that they're being cared for.
Okay.
Like, there are, with some of the issues, there's some, you know, there's some repercussions. There's some serious, like, there's some mental health. There's some consequences for their well-being. Mm-hmm. And they want to know that, I think that they're being taken care of during that space. We all do. We all want to know that we're being cared for. And so, and I think that's a value that they're listening for. It's one thing to state our values. It's another thing to live them.
Yeah.
And I think young people are looking for us to live out our values. They're looking for us to live it out. And, you know, I think they talk about it in the sense of, you know, what would Jesus have us do?
Okay.
It's talk about follow Jesus.
Yes,
that's, I think that's critical.
That's what they want us to do.
Yeah.
And so as you think about the consequences and repercussions, again, I go back to the lessons I've learned from studying history and studying the civil rights movement is, really important to me. But who do you think is more worried about the consequences? Do you think it's young people, or do you think it's us more established people that are concerned about the consequences?
I think it's probably young people right now.
Yeah. Really?
I think so. They're concerned. I think as adults, we think about what is our legacy and what we're passing on.
Uh-huh.
But I think they have an understanding of what those consequences are in terms of history in a way. Well, I don't want to say all young people.
Right.
I think the ones that are engaging are very aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the question is, how do we bring in others?
Yeah.
Because I think that's going to be significant for how the church moves forward.
Well, how do we empower young people?
Mm-hmm.
What would be your best practices for empowering young people to engage in this type of work?
I think letting them know that when we have these conversations, they're an important piece of it. So within our churches, it's not just, you know, that idea of they should be seen and not heard.
Okay,
obviously let go of that one.
Yeah.
Because what they are talking about and thinking about matters, and I think we have to do that across the board. I think we have to let them know that matters to us as well. Uh-huh. And again, providing that space for that to happen, whether it's setting up special weekly events or monthly events for conversation around those issues.
Yeah.
We invite our young people to be part of our congregational meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But I think let's do more than that.
Yeah.
How do we talk about some of these specific issues that we know are important to them, I think is critical.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the business principles that I think about is these feedback loops, right? If you're designing software, if you're manufacturing things, you have these feedback loops. And I'm not sure if the church does a good job of that. I mean, we may invite young people to events, but I'll give you an example. When we first recommended that we would change our bylaws from Mennonite Church USA to allow youth delegates, it were people that were really nervous about this. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, what if the young people come and you know, and they vote something that we don't think they should be voting for. You mean, what if the young people show up, that they get actively involved in the church
and
they start making decisions and have an opinion? They show up in mass to this event? Oh, what a horrible thing.
Like, exactly.
I wonder if we are, I don't know, are we afraid of what young people may say or what they may add? Or are we
jealous?
Or
they may push us?
They may push us, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, you know, it's like when we talk about conflict, you know, and I hear them talking about conflict in a way of, let's go, let's have it. Let's,
yeah.
you know, I think have an understanding of, well, we should disagree. We can disagree,
yeah. Yeah.
but can we do it in respectful ways? Can we have what one of them called a brave space?
Okay, yeah, brave
can
spaces.
We have
yeah.
that? Can we have that conversation without it being, threatening.
Threatening, yeah.
And I think that's what they bring. Like, yeah, what a great thing that they want. Bring them into the delegate assembly. Have
right.
them. But I think it probably, maybe it scares us because we know what we were like at that age.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, oh, I don't think I should have been making those decisions
right.
for the church at
right.
that same age that some of these young people. You know, young people are that are saying, yeah, we want to be part of it. We this is what it means to follow Jesus. We want to be part of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the church is still here. So just those of you that were worried about this, the church is still here. The young people haven't voted you all out.
right.
So it was, I think it was good to get young people engaged in the work of the church.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I always wonder, like, I wonder how people think that young people will learn mm-hmm. these things if we don't bring them along, mm-hmm. if we don't get them involved. And again, since you work at Peace and Justice, again, thinking about the civil rights movement and the age of many of the young people that were involved in these things, they were kids.
Yeah.
I mean, they were babies. And I know the parents in some of these marches weren't involved because they were afraid they were going to lose their jobs,
uh-huh.
right? That the institution had power over them and they didn't have that same power over the kids.
Right.
And, you know, maybe some of the concern is that we don't want our babies, we don't want them hurt.
Yeah.
We don't want them mm-hmm. damaged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, or that we're all, I think sometimes as adults we think, well, we just want to protect them from
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And I think, do we think we can fix it before they realize what we've done?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think about the youth, the and young adult climate summit
oh, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
we had
yeah.
at convention.
Yeah.
And how involved, and I remember one of the things that I think seemed really critical and important for that the speaker talked about was, I think we also need to be careful not to blame our youth for what happened, not
oh,
to blame
right.
young adults. I think sometimes they carry that, though.
That we're blaming them for the climate?
That we're blaming them for what's happening.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think we have to validate them for
yeah.
the work that they're doing and who they are, and they have to hear that.
Yeah.
So, no, not... I mean, I would never blame them. They might blame us, which we could hold that because
right,
we
right.
probably should. But I think it's also critical, just to recognize that they shouldn't. They're not being blamed. The church isn't blaming them for anything that's happening
yeah.
within our world and feeling like it's their responsibility to fix it. That's where we need to be doing it together.
Yeah, and so some of the things that maybe. Well, so this is an information age, right? And these young people are transparent in ways that we never would have thought about being transparent. And I think that really threatens a lot of leaders, that the systems of kind of hiding information and not mm-hmm. sharing things, I don't think that works mm-hmm. as well now. So now, as we're moving into these more polarized political times,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, what advice would you give churches and maybe having young people engage these things in healthy ways?
Yeah.
If there is a healthy way.
I think there is healthy ways. You know, it's interesting because I think about my work. I feel like that conflict transformation piece
mm-hmm.
is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in conversation that I've had with people, it's not just for, it's for our congregations.
Mm-hmm.
As adults, we don't really know how to have those
right,
conversations.
Right, right.
And so figuring out ways of how we can have those, especially, yes, right now, difficult conversations
yeah.
without having people feel marginalized by
okay.
it, kicked
yeah.
out by it. Like, no, we're church and we're church together
yeah.
and we can hold that. And I know that's been difficult
mm-hmm.
to do. But I think as I think about doing that work in the church, part of the question is how are young people engaging in that? Because they have to be part of that conversation around conflict. Because I think they're ready to have those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I talked about my husband's Kingdom Living class, they love that circle up time.
Yeah.
Like, let's have these deep conversations. Yeah. I think they're ready to probably have them in a way that our congregations, the adults, are not.
Yeah.
So that's where I think we set up, how do we set up spaces to do that? I think we can, whether it's through a curriculum to say, this is intentional. We're going to have these conversations intentionally.
Yeah,
I think that's important.
That huddle up time, I'm kind of envisioning that. And I wonder what that would look like. We're supposed to be talking about youth and young adults.
Right.
But yeah, I think that at some point we as adults, I don't know if we become too safe or we just want to avoid those times. We don't want to huddle up. We just want to go to our separate little alcoves or whatever. But young people still are at the place where they will engage.
Yes.
Right? So how do we capture that? Like as older adults, like how do we capture that and maybe learn from our young people?
Well, I think, you know, when I was doing, you mentioned the restorative discipline for schools.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's partly what that's all about. When they're having either conflict or harm, you know, there are typical responses often in school, some of which is a 3-day suspension. You know, it's punishment rather than accountability and sitting down together and having conversations about what happened. And I think that's what, if we can engage our young people and have them teach us, like in schools, some of them are doing that work. Like, it's not just adults coming in and saying, okay, now we're going to sit with you and we're going to talk about what happened and we're going to talk about how to put that right.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that with each other.
Yeah.
So I was doing a training and I went into a school and the organization that I was working with, this nonprofit in this town, they got a call to say, and they have a contract with a school, to said, there are these 6 young women and they're having a conflict and they want you to come in and lead, you know, a circle with them.
Right.
And after we did that for an hour, you know, 2 boxes of tissues later, they were walking out and they were, you know, and I said, how do you know to do this?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we do this often. Like we, and I said, no, but how did you know how? How did you know how to ask for a time and a space to come and have these conversations?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we've been learning this since 3rd grade.
Really?
And so they also understand that this conversation isn't fixing it, but we know that we can come here and have these conversations as often as we need to. I think as adults, we sometimes will know how do we fix it?
Right.
How do we fix it and be done?
Yeah.
Rather than, oh no, this is ongoing conversations. We're going to have them this week. We might have it next week about something different. And I think that's what young people can provide even for us as adults to do. I mean, we all have to learn it together, but it can, they have it in a way that I think I would have never had it.
Well, you said that, well, we know we're not going to fix it. Like the young person said that. And I think sometimes we as adults or leaders, we fool ourselves and say, oh, we're going to fix it. We're going to come up with this magic pill and it's going to solve these problems. And I know, and you know, like we've been dealing with the same issues, same polarizations.
Right.
Well, during my lifetime, within the institution, within society, these things just seem like they just go in a cycle. So, I want to. Do you think we're not learning, or do you think it's just like we forget, and then a new evil person comes up and stirs up these troubles?
Or are we just stuck on stupid? We can't. Maybe there is a fix, and we just haven't figured it out yet. I think it's part of being in relationship with one another.
Yeah.
And I think if we, you know, we talk about the idea of shalom and we talk about what that means. And I think it's not just peace. I think there's a completeness and a wholeness that we strive for. And I think if we really are serious about having those kind of relationships, then we have to keep, it may mean talking about this over and over because it's part of living life together. And where we know that there are justice issues involved, that we have to continue to talk about those, and there's not just going to be a fix. Yeah, something else is going to happen, whatever that's going to be.
Yeah.
But how do we get at some of the root of those things? I think that's the key of what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, and, you know, one of my mentors said, you know, Glenn, always remember that we're in a people business. And I think that's something key for us to remember, that we are, and especially in ministry, we're in a people business. No matter what business you're in a people business. But especially in ministry, caring about people, trying to work at these relationships is important. And something that's As long as we have people involved, mm-hmm. we're never going. It's never going away.
Right.
Someone told me one time we were dealing with a conflict. They said, "Well, you know, the Bible is clear." Mm-hmm. I said, "Yeah, the Bible is clear till you start interpreting it. Until you start getting your opinion and mixed up in there with it."
Well,
yeah.
That's exactly what it is, because the way I see it, it is the right way of interpreting it.
Right,
and yet,
exactly.
You do too. It's right. All about perception,
we
right?
We see it through our eyes.
My
yeah.
perception is my reality.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you, and your perception is your reality. So how do I honor that when we disagree yeah. without compromising who I am?
Right.
But how do we move forward together?
Right.
We don't agree on it, but there are some things, if we agree the relationship is important, then we're willing, I think, to work at it.
Yeah. And I think this is really important as we start thinking about perspective in young people. I mean, you and I, we've been through a lot of things and we see things a certain way, but we see things based on some of our misremembering, some of our like glorification of the past, all these different things. And these young people are seeing it in many cases for the first time,
mm-hmm.
but we want them to see it the way we see it and from mm-hmm. our perspective. But I think we miss something when we do that to young people.
Right.
Like we don't value them because they're too young to understand.
Yes, we have the experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's where it's both a help and a hindrance, because I think that's where that collaboration of, I think young people are saying,
yeah.
we value that experience
yeah.
that you have, but it doesn't mean it's going to turn out the same way, and it doesn't
right.
mean that experience is the right, you know,
yeah.
it doesn't have to determine what the future looks like.
Right.
And I think that's where I've heard repeatedly that we want to be listened to mm-hmm. and we want to be heard. Rather
yeah.
than, no, we're not going to try that because we did that like 20 years ago
right.
and it didn't work then. It's probably not going to work now.
Sometimes it doesn't.
And sometimes it doesn't. But don't they have to learn
they
it?
They got to learn it, right?
They
have to go
thing.
Through it.
Yes.
And that's like, you know, so I have a 26-year-old daughter and a 23-year-old son. And, you know, sometimes I talk to my son and he'll be like, yeah, I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, son, you had to go through it. You have to, I have to give you enough space to make those mistakes.
Yes.
And I give you a framework so you don't die, you don't kill yourself or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just gotta figure it out.
You know, when my son was young, I saw he had a lot of me in him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember saying to him at one point, I don't know what he wanted to do that I was
yeah.
trying to talk him out of, apparently.
Right.
And I said, you know, I talked about being young and stupid. And he said, Mom, you don't give me the opportunity to be young
Ooh.
And stupid. I still remember that.
Yeah,
he's,
yeah.
you know, 35 years old
yeah, yeah.
now. And I still remember him saying that. And my husband just looked at me like, it's because, you know, because I felt like I saw so much of myself. I thought,
right.
I'm going to help him avoid those pitfalls.
Yeah.
And then I had to pull back and say,
back.
he's got to go through. I'll be there for him.
Yeah.
And we can walk this together. And I think that's that togetherness that I'm talking
yeah.
about. How do we do it? But I can't stop him other than, yeah. making
yeah.
sure it's not permanent damage.
Right, and we have to listen to young people. And
yes.
so I didn't read this article, but supposedly someone wrote an article from a different, I'm throwing shade now,
uh-huh.
this is a shade portion of this,
okay.
From a different Anabaptist group.
Okay.
And I think it was kind of leaning toward like Mennonite Church USA, because we had said something about, I don't know if it was being relevant or kind of looking at our programs in a way that appeals to young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they thought that was like ungodly or something.
Wow.
Like
mm-hmm.
you know, like we were heretics or something.
but
I think it is important that we listen to young people, because a lot of things that we talk about, whether it's the climate or human sexuality, family dynamics, that's impacting them.
Yes.
I'm not having any more kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I told my kids I have less life ahead of me
yeah,
than I have behind me.
Yeah.
And so why am I trying to just hold on to everything so tightly when I need to give these young people
mm-hmm.
an opportunity to learn and
mm-hmm.
live? And
mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, I can be there as a guide
yes.
to give them some wisdom, to give them some
mm-hmm.
perspective, to say,
yeah.
okay, this is not the end of the world, or
right.
I've seen this before. But I think the church does need to understand that culture and its influence has always been a part of
mm-hmm.
the gospel,
mm-hmm.
of the witness, that even as Jesus reflected on things that were going on in this culture.
Right.
But now, 2024, we just ignore those things.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so we ignore that, and that's where I think we don't listen to that value that they bring of who they are.
Right, right.
Because they may be young. We may have lived life and have this experience, but they have an understanding of that that's theirs.
Right.
And for us to ignore that, I think, is wrong. Like, we can't. We need them to be part of it. We need them to bring that.
Right.
So that, and I think for some of us who, you know, for me, when I didn't recognize it when I was younger, can see it in a whole different way through their perspective, which I think is a gift that they have for us, honestly.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I think, too, as a older person, you can, at least me, I try to bring less anxiety to the table now. Because I know some things that I was just really rigid about at 20-some years old.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, well,
it's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal, right.
Well, it's not going to bring the rapture, as my friend Michelle says. It's not going to bring the rapture. Like, let's just keep going.
No, I just read something about the rapture.
Okay.
Just kind of side note. Are you familiar with Chick Tracks?
No.
Chick Tracks. So these little books that would tell you that you're going to hell and that the Lord's coming for your soul.
Okay.
And that...
You didn't write it, did you?
I didn't write it. No, it's just Jack Chick. It's just these little books. And so I actually just brought Michael Danner one because we talk about them. But it's like these books and like, oh, your soul's going to be required and you're going to get raptured. And It's just this really scary kind of theology thing. But it's like...
It's like those movies, Left Behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
it's exactly the same. But I feel like sometimes that's how we try to do it to church with the kids. And, we don't let them see and explore the world. And sometimes I think they feel like if they do anything out of line, they're not going to make it, right? They're not going to make it. And
I think that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think that's their, I think the message is provide space for us.
Yeah.
But don't just leave us.
Right, we don't want to leave them. We don't want to leave them behind.
No, we don't want to leave them behind. We want to work at it together.
Yeah.
They're significant, and it's important for the future of the church.
Yeah.
And I think they're asking what those values are. Tell us what they are. We'll tell you what we think.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Well, that's good. Like, and tell us what those values are.
Yes.
So we're not saying, again, for those that think, you know, different opinions about what we're doing at Mennonite Church USA.
Yes.
No, we're not telling people we don't have any values. We're an Anabaptist denomination.
Yes.
We believe in being followers of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now, that does look a little different in 2024 than it did in 1969 because the world is different.
Right.
Our understandings are different. There are different pressures. Some things are the same. Some things are quite a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have AI technology. We have all of these different things that complicate and enhance communication. And so we do need to look at how do these things apply as we try to live out the gospel.
Yes.
I mean, it's a lot different dealing with a horse and pony and what was the Pony Express versus a cell phone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it when I was a youth pastor, when cell phones became prominent, it changed how I did youth ministry.
Huh.
Because part of it was we would go on a youth trip and it would just be me and the youth.
Right.
When cell phones came,
It was whoever
the whole community, right? And so I had to adjust and look at things differently, even how I dealt with parents and all of these things, because the times had changed, things that influenced young people changed. And so I could act like it was, you know, what, 1990?
Yeah, it wasn't part of it.
Yeah, but it was part of
it.
And so even how it impacted the mental health or the ability for kids to focus changed. So I had to adapt as a church leader. But
And how do we make those decisions together? I mean, when we talk about values, it's not us saying, okay, things have changed, we recognize that, but we need you to put that aside because we have to focus on this.
Yeah.
It's, no, how do we incorporate
how
that?
Do we incorporate
what does it mean now?
Yeah.
What does it mean for us to move forward with this that's different than when we did it?
Yeah.
So how do, and they can help with those decisions as well. They recognize it. They know it's different. But I think it's that, how do we do it together?
Yeah, I like that. I mean, and it is an intentionality because sometimes, let me just stick with the cell phone analogy. Sometimes we had to set the cell phone aside.
Yep.
Sometimes it was a tool.
Yeah.
Before, when I would take the kids to the amusement park, we would have to meet at a certain time to make sure everybody was still alive.
Right,
and then you could go back and have fun.
Yeah.
When cell phones came, hey, just text me.
Yeah, let me know.
Just let me know
where you are.
Yeah, so it
provided, ping your location.
Yeah, ping your location. And I'm going to go sleep on the bus while y'all are at the park. But it provided a measure of safety in that sense. But then when it was time for devotion and Bible study, no, cell phones need to go. We're going to put that away. I need you to be focused. So again, so I'm incorporating these new things.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point they put the Bible app and all those things on it. And so you can use them, you can incorporate it. I don't know.
And I think part of it, it's okay to have, you know, sometimes when I teach a class or when we do trainings, we talk about we're together for a week or we're together for a semester. Mm-hmm. How do we want to be in community together?
Yeah.
And let's have some guidelines to say, here's how we want to be. There are times where, cell phones are appropriate.
Yeah.
I had one student and we were talking about how we sit in circle. Mm-hmm. And because of some trauma in his own experience, he said, I always need to sit like with my back to the, like I need to be up against the wall a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
So we like shifted the circle that way to make allowances for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to do is be willing to be able to listen rather than say, oh no, if it's a circle, it's got to be out here and you're going to have to deal with that.
Right.
Like, we can't. We have to, how are we going to incorporate it? But how do we come to that community agreement together?
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yep. We need to be flexible. We need to listen to young people. And when I go to a restaurant, I always sit facing the door. I don't sit with my back to the door, just in case you want that.
You want to know who's coming in.
You never know. It's a cultural thing. You never know. You got to watch. You got to look out.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Lorraine, for your time. I appreciate you. Appreciate the work. Any closing statements you want to share with the people?
I don't know that I have a closing statement. It's been great to be here. It's great to have these conversations. I think they're significant, they're important, and I think we should keep having them.
All right. And we need to have them with young people.
And we need to have them with young
people.
Have
them present.
We have them together. Yes, have them present.
Yeah. Don't just abandon them, but be a part of it. We want to do it together. That's what I heard from you.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, for the latest news and events from Mennonite Church USA, please subscribe to Piecemeal, our weekly email newsletter at MennoniteUSA.org/piecemeal. We also ask that you prayerfully consider supporting the ongoing work of MCUSA's ministry at MennoniteUSA.org/give. Thank you so much.